right, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. What a great first hour we had. Ron Cook, Brady Shea. Second hour equally as good. Chase McCabe off today. Nick Frazier in for Chase as well. And our special guest, I've been trying for 6 months to get this young man to come down here.
Welcome. At least 6 months.
Yeah, right? Chris Kirkpatrick, you know him from NSYNC, joins us today. Nashville resident now. I'm going to call you Nashville native almost.
Almost.
How are you, man?
Good. I'm really good. I'm really good. Excited. We've got the Masters this weekend.
You a big golf guy?
Yeah. Well, I think I love the Masters. I love the players. You know, I love when they do Ryder Cup, that kind of stuff. So, but Masters is like something different.
You got a favorite golfer?
I mean, you know, like everybody else, I love Scotty. But we were just talking about it. You know, it'd be nice to see Rory get another one. You know, especially after watching that documentary. I don't know if you saw Rory's documentary that he had and how hard that first Masters when he was up. And then blew it at the end
right.
And just fell apart. But, you know, he seems like a good guy. It'd be fun to watch him win.
Could you tee off at the first hole at the Masters with everybody watching?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
could?
Yeah.
A nice shot down the
field?
Oh,
you didn't say that. You said, could I tee off?
Right.
I could tee off. I could probably take a couple people with me.
I don't think I could. I mean, that is like the number one hole at the Masters. Everybody watch. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I can't imagine their pressure that they have on them. But, you know, I've done tons of charity golf events, and a lot of times they'll have people on the first hole and stuff like that. So there is some nerves involved to that. Masters, that's a whole other level. You know, I would definitely shank a potamus one.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Are you a good golfer? I mean, are you considering yourself good, bad?
Maybe? No, I don't consider myself good, but I don't consider myself bad either.
Okay.
You know, I could probably hold my own. I'm probably 18 handicap.
That's not bad.
You
not
break 100?
I could break 100, yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Clubs or score?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I could do about that.
And we don't talk about how many balls I lose either.
I bet you get asked to do a billion things.
Sometimes. It all depends. And with my schedule with this pop tour that I'm on, you know, it's kind of tough. I feel bad. There's some golf tournaments that I used to do a lot, and I've had to postpone them. And you know, every year they're like, are you in this year? And I'm like, oh, man, I got shows that weekend
right.
or something. So kind of puts those off. And when I was, you know, I've been here 10 years. When I was in Orlando, we did a lot.
I'm sure.
I mean, you know, every weekend in Orlando was golf. I think there was probably 2 years of my life that my job was charity golf tournaments.
How do I sign up for that?
Yeah. and I'm still not that good, so that'll tell you something.
How's the pop tour going?
It's going great. It's going great. We have rehearsals next week for it here in Nashville. We've got O-Town, BB Mac, Ryan Cabrera, LFO. And then we're going to have some more surprises come out. We're trying to get Mark McGrath back on the tour. He was on for a while. We had Smash Mouth out with us for a while. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a trip down memory lane, you know.
It's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, when did NSYNC start?
Well, that's a trick question. The band started, I want to say, 95, maybe. But I had a band before that basically kind of morphed into what NSYNC is. Like, at one point it was only me. But before that, you know, I had guys coming and going and quitting and coming back and quitting for good. And then, you know, I think when we got the roster that we had, there were four of us for a while, me, JC, Joey, and Justin. About a year and a half, I think, and then probably about 95, we got Lance.
And it took off.
Took off.
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you were like the narrator to my entire childhood.
That's crazy.
To be honest with you.
Like, it's crazy.
When my mom and my dad would drive me to school, NSYNC's playing in
yeah.
the car. This is back when the CDs were very popular.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Target, Walgreens, get you a $3.99, $4.99.
Well, I can tell you're young by the fact that you said the CDs.
Well, yeah. Just for the audience.
When you
right.
just say CDs, you know, we kind of get it. When you say the CDs, you're like, ooh, the CDs.
Sorry, didn't mean to age you at all. I'm showing my age more than anything.
Yeah.
But just when you listen to music nowadays and you go back to your time back in the early, you know, I'd say late 90s, early 2000s, are you just in awe of how it's changed a little bit?
You know, it's always going to change. It's music, you know. I think what I'm in awe of is the fact that we're like oldies now. You know, that was the weird part, because when you're doing it, you know, you're the cutting edge or the newest thing. You're putting out songs that people are listening to, new sounds, new ways of doing music. And then suddenly, you know, the next thing you know, you're doing meet and greets, and the moms come up, and they got their kids, and the kids are, like, going crazy. The moms are looking at you like, I have no idea. Uh-huh. Now it's the same thing, except switched. You know, the moms are going crazy, and the kids are looking at you like, don't make me take a picture with this creepy guy.
I knew the questions would start rolling in every time that you're on with these. You know what question it is? It's like, why are you guys – and why is not everybody come back together for a reunion tour? You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but that's I get those questions every
time.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in just different places. We love what we built with the brand, but there's a lot of, you know, underlying things and issues that, you know, kind of keep it from completely just happening. We all still talk.
Right.
Yeah. We've had, you know, a bunch of conversations. It is a brand. We understand it's a brand. We're not trying to, you know, lose the brand name or anything like that. But, and we'll still come back and do stuff for things like that. But, you know, you've got guys that, you know, Justin was just on tour last year and he's burnt out.
Yeah.
Like it was a hard year. It was really difficult. I went out on the road with him a lot and, you know, watching him, I could just see he was tired. And, you know, nobody wants to go right back out and do it again.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot to it.
Yeah. So why did you move here 10 years ago?
I moved here because I love the town. I have some family here. I had a bunch of friends here. And when my wife and I would come to visit, you know, we were like, you know, we just love it here. We knew we were going to have a kid. Well, we thought we'd have kids, but we have a kid.
Right.
And, you know, this is a great place to raise a kid. And we came up here. And one day I just looked at her and I, you know, I had this huge house in Orlando on a lake. It was beautiful. But I was like, man, it was like Big Fish. I'm like, this isn't how I go.
Right.
Like this. Yeah. This isn't the place. This isn't the house. This isn't anything. I'm like, let's move to Nashville. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah. And we got up. You know, there's music central.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what's great. We built a studio down in Eagleville. I can go out and work with so many artists. And if you ever need road guys or anything, they're all here. And one thing I do love about it is the Nashville community, and I mean that in the music business especially. Like Nashville musicians are a breed apart. Like
yeah.
It's like everybody's just so happy to be working and to be doing. No, there's no competition. There's no, you know, oh, I hope this doesn't work out for this guy. You know, it's all just what can I do to help you out? And I love that.
That's great. When I told Nick you were coming on, first thing he said was, oh, he's a big Nashville SC guy.
Yeah. Went to the game last night.
Told you.
Yeah, we found out our section was like right next to where he was sitting.
Yeah.
You know, we love soccer. My kid plays soccer. My wife played collegiate soccer. And we took him there because a couple of his buddies were going as well. And he loves it's great. He's 8 years old now, and it's fun to hear him yelling at the field going, why aren't they pressing? Why aren't they? And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, all right. Like,
yeah.
He's getting it. You know, he loves football. He loves basketball. Played baseball a little bit. And just, I think a lot of times for young kids, baseball is a tough sport because if you're not batting, you're standing there picking your nose. And he didn't like that. You know,
yep.
He wants the action the whole time. He wants soccer where he's running up and down the field, basketball, running football, you know, everything. So, but, yeah, we became, you know, that's definitely our team. Moved from Orlando. When Orlando, you know, we did like Orlando City for a while. As soon as we moved here, we're like, nope, okay, Nashville now. So Nashville, SC, the Sounds. We love going to Preds games, love going to Titans games. I took him to 2 Titans games last year. We have yet to hit a Preds game. Yeah, we have yet to hit a Preds game this year, but we plan on going before the end of the season.
I heard 3 left.
Saturday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 3 left.
Heard Saturday's the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah.
We'll have to go.
We'll see.
Speaking of 2 Titans games, what do you think about their new jerseys?
I like them.
Yeah?
I like them. And they're kind of the throwback, right? Are they like the Oilers a little bit?
Yep.
Yeah. I always love when they do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hated the Oilers. But I love the Titans, so I like when they kind of throw it back because, you know, especially with me, and we're talking, like, I'm totally going to age myself now, but, you know, Warren Moon, Earl Campbell days, back in the day, there was just something mean about the Oilers, and then when the Titans kind of bring on that color in those jerseys, hopefully we'll get that mean streak. Who do you think they're going to draft?
Jeremiah Love.
You think they're going to get a running back?
We want him. Really? We want him. Yes.
You think Bane, his arms are too
short? I'd take Bane too. We've discussed this. Look, put his game tape on. Watch Ruben Bane work.
I think we're in a day and age now when it comes to when you're drafting guys and everything. There's too many variables.
Yes.
Like, they are, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan as well. I remember Kenny Pickett coming out, and they're like, oh, his hands. His hands were too small. I'm like, you know, when in the 80s do you think some guy was drafted, and they go, oh, look at Doug Flutie. Oh, he's right. He's too small of a quarterback.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he'll never, you know, I just think his shoes, he wears the wrong kind of socks. His underwear are too tight. You know, it's like all these variables they throw into these drafts are just – so strange, and they don't make sense. It's about winning, you know. And if that's what, you know, Titans need an edge rusher. If Bane fits that, there you go. But you think love is the answer?
I do. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah, Uno, I just think because you look at what Robert Saleh brings to the table, you already go getting Jermaine Johnson, former edge rusher at New York when he was there. You have John Franklin Myers, another former interior lineman.
They did a great job in free agency this year.
Oh, yeah, and they still got money to use. They
have
roughly $60-plus million they can go after somebody else if that's the case. I know Dexter Lawrence is out there. That might be an option.
It's always nice when a team is making moves before the draft.
Yeah.
And I think when I was growing up, you know, I remember watching the draft thinking that the draft was it. Like, every player that you were drafting was the best at what they do.
You know,
it's an unknown. You have no idea where these guys are going to go. But you see them in college, and you think, oh, they're going to be amazing. They're going to do that for my team in the pros. But there's something to going out in free agency and getting those guys that have been there. They know the game already, and just filling those pieces.
You from Pittsburgh.
Yes,
sir. So that's why you have your Oilers disdain.
Yep. Yeah, disdain. Mm-hmm. Bengals, Browns.
Brands,
and now Ravens.
Who's your favorite all-time Steelers player?
Ooh, well, I have to go with Lynn Swann. I've been to since '95. I didn't go to the '95 Dallas Super Bowl because the band had just gotten together and we were still working. But since then, I've been to every Super Bowl, and I always wear my Lynn Swann jersey. It's worked twice, didn't work once.
'05, '08, and then the
Then we lost to our quarterback.
Yeah, we lost to the quarterback.
Hopefully, our quarterback.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
I asked Tim Houseback yesterday, I mean, how does a guy get to hold a team hostage? And Tim said, well, because he is one of the top 32 quarterbacks on the planet, he can do that.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, he's a pretty good fit for the Steelers. We don't need, you know, anybody that's going to come in. It would have been nice to kind of make a little bit more of an effort for like a Kyler Murray. Or
Justin. Well, I had Justin Fields.
We had Justin Fields. We tried that, and that wasn't bad. I think they pulled him a little early. He worked the system, and put in Russell Wilson, and you know that just Russell's the type of quarterback though that he's great when he's younger. Like what he does fits his body. So now that he's older, you know he can't do what he used to do. Aaron Rodgers still got the gun, and that's all you need. You're not expecting him to run for 40 yards a game or anything. Just want him to scramble. You need to give him time and throw that ball where it needs to go.
Who dropped the pass of the game versus the Ravens in the first quarter? He didn't go to him the rest of the game. It was an under route, and he hit him. Was it Metcalf?
May have
Austin.
Been.
He hit the guy.
No, because Calvin Austin had that game when
he touched that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Austin had
and then Rodgers like, yeah, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
First quarter, like, I'm not throwing you
was
again.
Was it Adam Thielen?
No.
He wasn't there, was he?
I thought it was Metcalf coming across. He dropped the ball. It was a first down.
It may have been.
And he didn't, and Rodgers didn't throw him a single ball the rest of the game.
Oh, it could have been DK.
Yeah.
Now I think about it.
To add on to the thought, though, about Rodgers, he's just a really good game manager. I think that's what lacks.
Yeah, he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Like, exactly.
He's a smart quarterback with a good arm. And, you know, those guys can play Peyton Manning, you know, Tom Brady. Those guys can play for a long time. So, it's not the old days where they're getting beat up and you're worried about them getting hurt all the time. You just need a guy that's going to manage the clock, knows his receivers, gets good receivers. You know, hopefully they made a couple good decisions in the offseason, bringing in Pittman and, you know, some of the guys they brought in.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see. And real quick, to finish off what you were asking, I think there's got to be some kind of agreement in the front office with Rodgers that he's not going to – you know, wait till the draft, and then when the draft's over, leave him high and dry. And go, yeah, you know what? I'm out. You know, I think there's definitely something said and something going on that he could be the guy. And I'm excited to see Howard, you know, Will Howard. I want to see him get in some games, you know, see what he does because, you know, he's built a lot like Ben, big kid.
Good yes, arm. He is.
You know, it'd be nice to see him.
It was. All right, we'll take a break. Chris Kirkpatrick's with us. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. How many times you heard this song?
A few.
A few times?
A few times.
Do we owe you money for playing this? Because I got a little money on me today.
Yeah, you owe me parking.
We got that. Chris Kirkpatrick is with us. Of course, you know him best from being in the band NSYNC. I see you guys sold 70 million records.
Oh.
Is that hard to, I don't know, comprehend? It is for me. Good Lord.
Yeah, I think the weirdest part is, you know, and I have a lot of friends around here. You know, a bunch of people that are on TV and stuff here.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and you know, you go out and we hang out, or if you know Neil Orne, you know, those guys, we go out and you see people all the time coming up to him and stuff like that, and it's really cool. But then you know, I go to New Orleans or Chicago, and it's the same thing. You know, it's not just in this little town, and that's when you start to go, wow, this was big. You know, it's not just when I walk into Publix down here, I'm doing something locally. It's I travel and in the airport in San Francisco, and somebody comes up, you know. So that's when it really hits, and you're like, you kind of put it in perspective, like this was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 70 million, all that. So that's the cool thing to do that, and I mean, a lot of people, but. Like, oh, that was another – you embrace it because it was a special time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and go, well, I don't ever talk about the band or anything.
Right.
I mean, I'm on this tour that I do the songs, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going out, here's a new song I wrote, Bathroom Break Time. you know, so we do the old songs. But it was a great time. It was fun. And, you know, I put together a bunch of guys that we've remained friends for – long time, and I grew up with four sisters, no brothers, but I always feel like I have four sisters and four brothers.
Oh, that's very cool. You guys did the Super Bowl, right? What year was that? Was that 2000?
2000.
Or the 2001 Tampa?
Yep. Tampa. It was Baltimore Giants Super Bowl. Yep.
Were you able to watch any of the game?
After halftime.
After halftime, right?
Yeah, since we did the halftime, it was like after halftime I went up and got to watch some of the game, and it was tough for me. I mean, I guess I would have been Giants because it was the Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when they're in your division, we're not so much Colts fans around here, and we've got some teams that are in your division that you always kind of root against.
Yeah, I still have a problem with the Steelers, and I know you're a Pittsburgh guy, in 1983 mm-hmm. when they passed over drafted who I think is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I think that's why they made up for it and got Kenny Pickett. You know, they didn't want to do it again. They didn't want to find a Pitt quarterback and go, well, we did it again. You know,
yeah, right.
We looked over a Pitt quarterback, and now he's this great. You know, and I kind of feel bad for Kenny. I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on that kid when he came in. And, you know, I think he could still be a quality quarterback. But Pittsburgh is a football town. But if I can kind of pivot for a second,
sure.
though, I do want to say this is the first year – since probably 1990, that I might have to watch some baseball games because there's something going on right now in Pittsburgh.
Oh no!
Dr. Crane loves the Pirates.
I see you're a Cardinals fan. That's too bad.
Hey, easy now. Youngest team in baseball.
But he loves Paul Skeens.
Pirates are right there now. That kid Connor Griffin. Oh man, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I've got my kid's 8 years old, and I've always, you know, he was born here in Nashville, so right at St. Thomas. So it's like he's allowed to be, you know, we're Titans fans, we're Preds fans, we're Sounds fans, we're Nashville SC fans, and, you know, he can like whoever he wants, but he definitely has to like my teams too.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, watching him and hearing him talk about the teams now is great. This is the first time I was always like, all right, we love football and we love hockey. You know, that's what we love. And now this year, actually last night when we were on the way to the Nashville game, I told him, I'm like, hey, bud, I think this year me and you might have to go up to a Pirates game. I think there's something special going on this year. And it is, you know, the Pirates have been a team for 30 years who have had the Jason Kendalls, the, you know, these guys that come in and they're great players for him, but that's all they have. Yeah. And then as soon as their contract's up, they're with the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, somebody that's going to pay them. But this year, you know, there's a bunch of guys on that team, and there's a buzz that I can see on the feed. They got the traffic cones now. There's something going on, something different.
They've held on to all their prospects. Yeah. Henry Davis is one of the top prospects as a catcher.
Which they never do.
Yeah.
They never do. They trade him away.
And they also have
Paul
Skeens. Let's not forget about him.
Your boy signed today. The 9-year.
Yeah. Connor Griffin, the guy you're talking about, you alluded to. I don't know if the money is going to be worth it in the long run, but I understand why they did it, because everybody's expecting the salary cap in 2027, the lockout. Mm-hmm. So I was reading online that apparently if you signed a long-term deal before December 1st, all those contracts are grandfathered in.
Okay.
So that's kind of one of the reasons why Pittsburgh did that. It's genius from a front office standpoint. It's just a matter of if the player will pay off by then. And again, he's 19 years old. He's out of, I think, Columbus, Mississippi. I mean, he's the stature of Aaron Judge, 6'7".
He's a baller.
200 pounds.
As a shortstop.
Yeah, as a shortstop.
Wait, he's 6'7", shortstop?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
He's a baller.
And let's not forget.
He's got a great head on his shoulders, too.
Exactly. I think that's the big thing when you have a guy that's 19 years old and understands he feels like he's a vet already. That's big.
Can you name the outfield back in 1990?
Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke.
The greatest,
Chico,
right?
Chico Lean, Jeff King.
Yes.
Orlando Merced. Spanky LeVier, Doug Drabek, Tim Wakefield.
Was John Smiley on that team?
John Smiley was on that team. I think that was it, right? Did I get the whole? Jay Bell.
How could we forget Jay Bell?
Love me some Jay Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember in tears, Barry Bonds was last one up, and we were losing, and he hit into an out or something like that, and we lost the game, and I was just like, because that was our year, and then, you know, then the mass exodus happened, and the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla.
They are still paying. Remember the day Leland jumped Barry Bonds' butt at spring training because he wasn't hustling?
I know. I love me some Jimmy Leland.
Right?
I was even a fan of Detroit when he went up to Detroit. I love Jimmy Leland.
Yeah, that was so they won 90, 91, and 92. They won the East, and then Reds got him. The Braves got him.
Sid Bream. Hobbling around third base. I can see it.
Oh, man.
It hurts so bad. And Sid played for the Pirates the year before.
That's right. He sure did, yeah. Yeah, and then so after that, I mean, it went straight to you know where.
That's when Wakefield, Bonds, Bonilla. Still kept Van Slyke. Van Slyke was always my favorite. Like, I played outfield when I played in high school, and I love me some Andy Van Slyke.
Did you get to know those guys as your career went on and doing pro-ams? None of those guys?
No, they were all pretty much out of there. We did get to meet when we played a show in San Francisco. Barry Bonds came to the show and brought baseballs that I still have signed, and I'm the only one that was like – so in our band, there's only really – I think 2.5 of us that are sports guys is Justin and I, and the half I would give to JC because he watches, but you know he's not into sports. And Joey and Lance just are like yay sports.
So who's the one player that would be starstruck today?
Any player. Oh geez, I don't know. I'd probably go with like somebody crazy like Tiger or. Maybe Tom Brady. We actually ran into Tom Brady at the Derby the first year the Patriots won that crazy Super Bowl, and we were talking to him, and me and my uncle were just screaming at him about the Steelers and joking around, having a good time, and he had some choice words, and I was just like, look at this young kid talking bad about my Steelers. What's he gonna do? You know, we've got a dynasty,
right?
And all these things, and this kid wins one Super Bowl, and he's suddenly the best ever. Whoops.
Yeah, and then he goes on and wins, seven total? He got all that? Yeah.
Yes, seven. He's got more individually than any team.
That's right. He sure does. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But you got Nick happy with your Pirates talk, though.
He's smiling.
Yeah. He's been on a Pirates bender now for a while.
Yeah, I'm just a big Paul Skeens fan.
Yeah, man. Me too. I actually got to watch him 2 years ago. I was doing my podcast out of – we were in Omaha. And while we were there, it happened to be the College World Series, and it was LSU, Florida. And a really good buddy of mine, his son, Dylan Cruz, was playing for LSU, in the outfield, and Paul Skeens was pitching. So I got to go, went out to dinner with my buddy and Dylan, and it was just – it was a fun weekend. And the worst – the worst – again, if you ever want advice from me on sports, do the opposite of what I tell you. Because I remember talking to him, and it was mostly because, you know, so close to Dylan and everything, but I was like – Pirates had the first-round pick that year, and I was like, man, they're going to go with Skeens. They need to get Dylan. Dylan's the man. I think it was just because I wanted free tickets to the Pirates. Dylan's such a great ball player,
right,
too. He's so fun to watch.
Plays for the Nationals, Dylan Cruz, yeah.
Yep. But Skeens. All right, we'll take another break. Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC is with us. We've claimed him now as a Nashville native, which is I have the authority to do that, Chris, so you're good now. More with Chris Kirkpatrick. We're live at Omni National Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our special guest this hour, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, Nashville native. We awarded him that title today during the show. You're welcome, buddy.
Honorary.
Yeah. Yes. No. You're one of us now. You've been here 10 years. And you care, and you can name players on teams in Nashville, so you qualify as a sports fan and as a Nashville native, right?
I heard you say oil instead of oil. You're Nashville.
In Pennsylvania, I was born in Clarion, which is north of Pittsburgh, and I grew up in Oil City. And everybody makes fun of me. My wife makes fun of me. My kid, actually driving the other day, my kid was like, Dad, is it oil or oil? And I was like, well, it's oil, but it's oil. Because when you lived in Oil City, nobody called it Oil City.
Yeah.
You know, it was Oil City.
Yeah.
So that translated into everything I said. And it's not even really an accent because it's kind of the only area that people say oil up there. But just always said oil.
Welcome. You hit on something there. We were talking in the break, which the question, you were in Orlando when Shaq arrived.
Yeah.
I mean, that is.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I was in those were the years with Horace Grant, Penny Hardaway. Because remember, the next year they had that crazy, they picked up Chris Webber. Swap with Anthony Hardaway, and that team made it to the playoffs, and it was the first time, you know, a team like that in Orlando had done something like that, and that's the only team they had.
Right.
All they had was the basketball team, and that place was electric. It was like, you know, and Nashville's like that too. Mm-hmm. Nashville's like that. Pittsburgh's like that. These fun sports towns, like Nashville's such a great fun sport. The year that the Preds went all the way to the final.
17,
This place was electric. When the Titans went to the Super Bowl, it was electric. You know, there was so much going on. And, you know, winning does that. Winning does that to a place. And, you know, when you're in a football season and you're only one of four teams or one of two teams still playing, you're going to wear your Titans gear. You're going to go out and celebrate, and it's a lot of fun.
I'm sure you've run into Shaq. I mean, he's absolutely gigantic.
Yeah, we actually recorded one of our first songs at Shaq's house. He had a studio at his house.
Oh, man.
And he had this giant pool house. And in this pool house, he had a, you know, SSL board. It was a huge, huge studio. And we went in there and recorded. And JC and I had finished early. And Joey and Justin were doing their parts later. And that's when Shaq showed up. And JC and I had already got back to our house.
Oh.
And we were sitting at the house together, and we were so bummed out that we just missed Shaq.
Yeah. What was it? Is with the Amway Center? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it used to be the Amway Center. Yep. So I met my wife. My wife worked for the Orlando Magic.
No way.
Yep. She was on the scorer's table. She did all the game presentation and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So. Oh, that had to be fun. I mean, watching the genesis of Shaq in the NBA.
Unbelievable.
With Orlando. I mean, come on.
I mean, he's one of those names. You know, it's like Michael Jackson or something like that. But again, it's always funny to me, like even with the name NSYNC, you know, I got to see some of these in the very beginning. You know, Shaq. I remember when Shaq was coming in right out of LSU. It was like, Shaq? His name is Shaq? Like a Shaq? Like a little wooden Shaq? I don't get,
right.
You know. And you're putting it together, and now it's, you know, it's like Webster's Dictionary stuff. It's like obvious.
Yeah.
But back then it was like Shaq. And Penny was so sweet. Like just when he, you know, out of Memphis, when he came out of his, when he'd be on the court, it was just so smooth. And Dennis Scott. They had some great players on that team.
That was a fun time because all Dennis Scott do out of Georgia Tech was shoot threes and made half of them.
Yeah, he's actually a good friend of mine. And every time I'm on a flight, I usually request 3D. And I always take a picture of it and send it to him every time. And he's like, here we go again.
Chris Kirkpatrick is with us here at the Omni Natural Hotel.
You mentioned Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear that, I think of the 2001 MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. You guys shared the stage with one of the greatest performers of all time.
Yeah.
What was that like?
The greatest performer of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's nobody better than Michael. It was, you talk about like awe moments where you just, I mean, you can sit there talking to someone and you're just not even understanding what you're saying because you're just like, this person's like a real life person. You want to pinch them. Like, there's no way that person's real. And yeah, that was, you know, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan from Off the Wall and The Wiz and the Jackson 5. And then when Thriller came out, it was like, oh my God, he became this, you know, huge icon. And he's just, he was amazing. Like, just everything about him was amazing. I think the people around him were nuts. And I think if he had different people around him, and I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus, but if he had different people around him, I think his life would have been a lot different. And we'd know him in a lot different light because he had a lot of yes men. And in our business, that's one of the scariest thing is when you surround yourselves with yes men and you become this, you know, a detached from reality person, you change into this thing that nobody's telling you no. Nobody's saying this is probably not a good idea to do because they don't want to get fired or let go. And
yeah.
It's really scary. That's how we have all these problems in the business today.
That's true. And did he give you any advice back then when you guys were in your prime of your careers?
No. There was, I mean, we did a lot with him. We did a song with him. Mm-hmm. We got to perform a couple times with him. He did a like a big benefit right after 9/11 that we did with him. We did that award show. We did his Jackson's 40th special, which looking back on it, I'm like, oh my God, I remember how old. I was like, man, Jackson 540? Maybe might have even been 30 for all I remember. It could have been 30-year special. I don't know, 2000? Yeah, it probably was 30.
Yeah.
30. It was their 30th anniversary, and I was like, man, that was a long time, and now we are coming up. We're
right, welcome back to the final segment here with Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC here at the Omni Natural Hotel down there. All right, Chris,
May 14th, 2000, you guys play Nissan Stadium.
We come back. Cisco open for you guys when you're over there. So
you know where I'm going.
There's this thing now where people are like, bring back the acts. Like George Strait was one of the first ones. You guys were. So there you go, man. You're tied into the Omni Natural Hotel. Knocked down 1025 the game.
I love it. I love it. That's such good history, and that's so cool. We actually. Same thing happened up in Pittsburgh. We played Three Rivers.
No.
So we played Three Rivers Stadium, and I remember being from there. The Post-Gazette the next week put out front page of the Post-Gazette said, Pittsburgh says bye-bye-bye to Three Rivers Stadium. And then we were the first thing in Heinz Field, whatever they call it.
Akershire Stadium.
I still will call it
still
Heinz
Field. Still Heinz Field.
Still Heinz.
You talked about it. You didn't have the easiest time growing up. I mean, you didn't have a lot of money. You lived in your car, all that stuff. To see you close Three Rivers Stadium in your life from where you started to close that, I mean, that had to be just an emotional roller coaster.
Well, especially with my family there. You know, my mom, my uncles, my aunts, my grandparents. We're all there, and for them to be around that, because when we were growing up in trailer parks and in a suburban and, you know, living as hard as we had it, you never would have thought something like this would happen. And we were all from the area, so we were all Pirates fans.
Yeah.
We were all Steelers fans, and at the time, they both played Three Rivers. So it was really cool. I remember when we walked into that place, you know, doing a lot of the fun ones, like, you know, here when it was brand new.
Yeah.
I mean, you still smelled new and everything was great. You know, you walk into those places and you just look around in awe. And it is kind of humbling. And at the same time where I'm driving with a bunch of my buddies that are musicians or whatever. And if we're in Nashville, we're in some town sometimes. Nashville, you know, you're driving around and looking at a bar, and they're like, oh, man, I played that place. And they're like, yeah, I played that place. And you go by the stadium. I'm like, yeah, I played that place. You know, it's kind of cool that, you know,
right.
It was such a great time. It was a great time for music. It was a great time in the world where everything was just crazy and positive and upbeat. And we didn't have, you know, all this, you know, drama now that we have.
Right.
It's tough.
Well, you, I was raised by a single mom. You're raised by a single mom. Mm-hmm. What is it about with your son today, and you grew up without a father, that you want him to have?
Me. You know, I think I just presence. You know, me being around. My dad came to, I had one minor league baseball game. And by minor league, I mean like they called minor league before little league in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I had one game that he actually made it to, and I got beamed with a pitch, and I cried on my way to first base. And I was trying to hold it back because it's the only game, you know, he saw me play. And I played in high school. I played football, played basketball. But I just want to be present, and I want him, you know, you got to be that figure and support him and go to his soccer games, go to his basketball games, went to all his baseball games, and just be around because it's I did think of it the other night. He was laying there on my shoulder or something like that, and I just thought how comfortable it was to have him laying on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I thought how strange it is for me to, like, you know, and I love my dad to death, but, like, even, like, hugging my dad, it's kind of like, oh, I'm hugging this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas my son, he's like, I'm hugging my dad.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So it's just being present with him and making sure that he sees it.
As, like, a friend of mine would tell me, he's like, you learned nothing from your dad because he wasn't around. I said, oh, I learned how not to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that. Like, I wouldn't say how not to be my dad because my dad was just a different person. You know, my mom was 16. My dad was 19 when I was born. And it was like a high school thing, and I don't think he had that gene in him that he wanted to be a dad. And I don't hold that against him. He's one of my really good friends. I love him to death. And, you know, and so I wouldn't say that I look at him like, oh, you know, that's not what I'm going
right.
to do, or that's what I don't want to do, because he's a great grandpa to my kid, too. I just think it's that I want to be around for my kid.
Good.
And I want to be in his life.
Last question before you go. AFC Championship game. It's Pittsburgh and the Titans. Mm-hmm. Who you taking?
Oh, that's not a question. Well, you do know, like I said, we've been here 10 years.
All right.
So if you think back 10 years ago, there was an NHL series.
Sure.
That happened to be the Stanley Cup Finals, and it was the Penguins, and it was the Predators. And I was so excited. Ooh, sorry, my phone.
Yeah, Siri's going to get on you now.
and we'd been to a bunch of Preds games that year, and we're loving the Preds. I was going, you know, having a great time. That was the big Catfish year and everything. Met Catfish Joe. And my sister, who is a diehard Pittsburgh fan, you know, is texting me, I want to see what you're wearing on that first game. Because I was telling her, I was like, this is difficult. I love the Penguins. But another thing was the Penguins just won it the year before.
That's right.
So I was like, you know, if the Penguins lose, you know, it would be great. Because the town, like I said, was amazing that year.
Right.
And I was like, if the Penguins lose, that'll be fine. Man, that puck dropped. And for one series, I did not like the Predators. And I think it was mostly because all my friends from here knew I was a Penguins fan and started in on the smack talking.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't smack talk me. I'm trying to root for both here. I'm trying, when you smack talk me now, I got to defend my team. So I think it would be tough to go for the Titans. But either way, whoever won it would be my team in the Super Bowl.
There you go. All right. That's a very good, if you run for office, that's a great answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Because, you know, Pittsburgh's my heart. Nashville's my home.
That's a good one.
And it's hard to put your home behind your
heart.
That's
your next song or your little tour coming up.
There we go.
Hey, man, we love you. Thank you. This is great. I've been on you for 6 months to get you down here.
We finally made it. Every time you text me, I'm in Chicago. I'm not going
to
make it.
And I'm like my undying love. I'm not quitting, and then I never quit. Appreciate you, man. Thank you and everything. Yeah. You're always so gracious. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris Kirkpatrick,
with us here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Back with Hour 3 coming up next, right after this on 102.5 The Game.